This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. It's caucus day.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And you said of Mitt Romney, somebody who will lie to you to get to be president will lie to you when they are president. I have to ask you, are you calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Yes.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes.
Your response, being called a liar.
Well, I understand Newt must be very angry, and I don't exactly understand why, but look, I wish him well. It's a long road ahead. He's a good guy. I like he and Calista, and we got many months ahead of us, so I'll leave it at that.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I think we're going to do well. We got a great ground game. People are excited. Great crowds. The excitement's just phenomenal. So I feel very good about this evening. Obviously, we're here to win the caucus. So, you know, that's our goal. So, you know, trying to pick win, place, or show is not in our vocabulary. We're here to win.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. It is caucus day in Iowa, and I know many of you around the country, whether you're in Iowa or not, are going to be watching the results very closely as they start trickling in this evening around 8:30 p.m., 9 p.m. Eastern time. We start getting some numbers in from Iowa, and what it looks like right now is a very close race for the top three positions between Mitt Romney, who's leading the polls there quite unexpectedly, you know, as you watch the last first few months of the campaign, and then, you know, not spending as much time in Iowa, and then a late surge there because of his consistency on the campaign trail and the surges and falling. Then you watch Rick Santorum, who surged, and unlike others who surged, did not get hit with a barrage of negative ads or attacks because the surge happened so late. He spent a lot of time in Iowa. He could pull off a victory there tonight, or certainly do well. And then Ron Paul, who's got kind of his core support, and his core support around that 20%-ish range, that's enough to do very well tonight. Those look like it could be the top three. But then, of course, you've got Rick Perry, who spent $4.3 million in Iowa in the last couple of weeks on advertising and organizing, looking for a decent enough finish to get to South Carolina. Now, if Mitt Romney pulls off a win tonight, I think he goes to New Hampshire strong. And then, of course, South Carolina, he's got the backing of the governor there. If not, and if something unexpected happens, this whole campaign can change. But I'll tell you, Dad, if Rick Santorum were to pull off a victory tonight, the ads against him will start as well, and he hasn't had to face that yet.
You know, Rick Santorum, again, and I said this yesterday, and we had Governor Romney on the broadcast. And by the way, we're going to have Governor Brownback, Sam Brownback. I called him Senator because we know him from Senator of Kansas on the second segment of the broadcast today. He is speaking on behalf of Governor Perry. You know, we're friends with a lot of the people running. Rick Santorum, you're right, has surged at a time where he did not face the barrage of negative ads. Rick Perry has launched some. The Real Clear Politics average poll has him at 16.3, but there are indications, Jordan, that he could be in the 20 percentile, which could make him not only a win, place, or show, he could win it. Romney also very strong. Paul very organized and very strong there as well. The interesting dynamic is, does Governor Perry, and I'm going to ask this to Sam Brownback, does Governor Perry, who's the Real Clear Politics has him at 11.5%, does he do better than that? He spent a lot of money on the ground and has brought in some ground troops. Are you getting any reports, Jordan? You're in Washington right now. What's the sense there from the people you're talking to on the Hill?
I mean, the sense is that, you know, you got to watch Rick Santorum closely. People think Ron Paul is peaked, so it all depends on how others do. But they do expect a top three finish because of that 20 percentile that he's in. The big question is, if Mitt Romney wins tonight, he goes to New Hampshire with a huge lead, pulls a win in New Hampshire and South Carolina. He's got the endorsement of the governor there. And even though the primary process has changed for Republicans, it's not winner take all anymore. It's proportional. He could wrap it up very quickly. But that's all hypotheticals. You never know until the caucus numbers come in.
All right, folks, we're taking your calls. We want to know that as the day of the caucus is here, who are you supporting? What are the positions you're concerned about? 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 800-684-3110. Governor Sam Brownback will be joining us in a moment. If you want Foundations of Freedom, 877-989-2255. It's our gift to you, 877-989-2255. And again, huge thank you to all our ACLJ members.
The U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Gettysburg Address, vital documents, all part of the foundations of freedom in America. Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
If you have not yet ordered a copy of our great booklet we've put together called Foundations of Freedom, I want to encourage you to do so. We're going to use that as almost like a textbook on this broadcast. These are the kind of the foundational documents for American law, and it's something that everybody really needs to have, and it's our gift to you. It's absolutely free. I want to encourage you to call our toll-free number to get your copy of Foundations of Freedom.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we want you to have a free copy of the Foundations of Freedom. Call right now. Toll free at 1-877-989-2255. Get your free copy, The Foundations of Freedom. Call toll free 877-989-2255.
Foundations of Freedom, it's absolutely free. You need to call and get your copy today.
Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Sekulow Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Sekulow tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org.
Be joined in just a moment by Governor Sam Brownback from Kansas. We had a great chance to work with Governor Brownback when he was Senator Brownback in Washington, D.C. He's a good friend, and he's representing Rick Perry's campaign, Governor Perry's campaign. As I said, Sam Brownback has been a friend for a long time, and what a champion he's been on so many issues. Governor, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Jay. It's good to join you. Thanks for letting me be on the show.
Well, it's great to hear from you. Are you out in Iowa? Is it as cold as it looks, or...
No, my goodness, and as a good Midwesterner, this is a spring day. Hey, this isn't bad at all. What
there you
are you
go.
Talking about?
There you go. Governor, let me ask you this. The polls are showing right now, and I know the polls could be very, especially with caucus, can be very misleading, that there's a three-way tussle right now between Governor Romney, Congressman Paul, and former Senator Rick Santorum. And it's showing then a very close race, and kind of the next tier would be Gingrich and Governor Perry. But I know that, and you're representing Governor Perry's campaign, that he's got a lot of people now on the ground and they've run a lot of ads. What's your sense? What are you expecting tonight? I want to get into some issues in a moment, but what are you looking for tonight? What's the campaign looking for tonight?
I think the campaign's looking for a strong ground game today, and then a lot of people going into that booth tonight and saying, you know, I just really don't want to support Mitt Romney. Who is my next option that can win in the fall? And looking down that ballot and saying, you know, I really think Rick Perry's the guy. The polls here are showing 40% still undecided the day before. And I think when they go in that booth and say, I want the next person that can win this but is conservative, proven conservative record, and I think we get the break on that.
You know, it's interesting. I always wondered with that 40%, do the Iowans just say that to keep us all on edge, or is that really the case? I mean, because it seems that year after year that's the case, but nevertheless, I do think you're right. There probably are a lot of undecided. What is a success tonight? How do you define a successful outcome for Governor Perry?
You know, it would look like to me, if you can get in that top tier, that is success. You know, remember last four years ago, I was up here with John McCain. He finishes fourth. He finishes above expectations, and they capture that as a win. Use that to go into New Hampshire strong, and then to play on through the cards in those early states. You know, I think finishing in the upper echelon, really, for Rick Perry, who's had has been in the field the shortest of anybody, has really had to ramp up rapidly, but has done so. I think that really launches him to finish in that upper echelon.
Let me go to a general question here, Governor, and this is one that's beyond just this campaign. It's issues you and I have talked about a long time, but let's put about this in a perspective. There is an issue that I am very concerned about, and that is in the Middle East. We have an office, as you know, in Jerusalem. I do a lot of work over there. I'm handling a matter at the International Criminal Court that the Israelis are involved in. And you've got the situation with the current administration's policy on Israel and then Ron Paul's policy on Israel, which is a non-defense policy. In fact, I think it's – is it fair when I say this, and if you think I'm wrong on this, tell me, that Ron Paul's position on Israel is much more to the left of Barack Obama's?
Of what I have seen of his and heard of his stated policy, I would agree with that. That's a very dangerous thing for Israel, and it's a very dangerous thing for the world, and particularly that region. The best thing for security in that region of the world is for there to be no space between the United States and Israel on defense issues, and that will keep things quieter and more secure for everybody if that is the known and stated position. If you got a Ron Paul-type position, it really puts that in jeopardy.
All right, let me move to Iran and a nuclear threat. I know that all the candidates have talked about this in the debates. You were served in the United States Senate in addition as governor. Iran as a threat level, how serious and how does that play into this election?
I think it's very serious as a threat level. They have clearly been working on getting the ingredients they need for a nuclear weapon and to be able to put those together in short order if need be, if they desired to do so. It changes the balance of power in the region. And, Jay, you know this, and I know a number of your listeners would too, but a lot of people think, well, there's kind of this mutually assured destruction scenario that you could play with the Iranians like we did with the Soviets for so many years. That does not work with the Iranian regime and the mentality they have. They, in some respects, want to almost play into that type of scenario, and that's why you have to prevent them getting the weaponry, or else the balance of power and terror in the region substantially goes up. You need a strong position by the United States, like Rick Perry has, and again, support for Israel if Israel decides to act against this Iranian nuclear threat.
Very good. Let me move to one that I know is near and dear to your heart and mine, and that is the issue of judicial nominations. I worked with you when we were dealing with judicial nominations when you were in the United States Senate. The next president of the United States realistically could pick two Supreme Court justices. It could tip the balance of power for the rest of my litigating career. As you know, I spent most of my time dealing with the Supreme Court. A Rick Perry presidency, what does it look like for judicial nominees?
I think it looks a lot like John Roberts, Justice Scalia. I think it looks a lot like that, and that would really strengthen the judicial restraint aspect of the Supreme Court. Plus, you know, Jay, he's introduced this concept of getting away from lifetime appointments into having a term set appointment, and that is a big ticket issue. But I'm delighted that somebody is talking about that with a plan, because I really think it is time that we get past the lifetime appointments and get into this more regularized system on the federal judiciary.
It's a controversial plan because, obviously, it would take a constitutional amendment to do it. And the reason the founders had the lifetime appointments to keep the judiciary out of the electoral aspect. Let me turn the attention to the economy. The president, I could almost predict, Governor, that as we get closer to the election, all of a sudden the numbers are going to start looking a little bit better. I don't think it's going to be necessarily better for the American people, but they're going to make the numbers look better. What's your sense of how is the economy the issue for this campaign?
It's certainly one of the top ones, Jay, no question about it. But if you look at the base of the electorate on both sides, the passionate activist base, values issues continue to really be key ones. Everybody's concerned about the economy and has a plan, and I think Governor Perry's plan is the best, and he's got a performance record to show. I know how to get a situation where you create an environment that's positive for jobs. He's done it in Texas. He can do it in the United States. But you get on into the electorate into the fall, Jay, I'm going to predict that your base activist voter, a lot of what they're going to look at are the values of the two candidates running.
All right, last question, and that's this. Where does Governor Perry go next? Is he going to go to New Hampshire or South Carolina or both, or do we know yet?
Yeah, I think he moves to South Carolina. I think it's probably a more difficult setting in New Hampshire. I'm not authorized on this ground as a tactician to speak for the campaign, but you know, I certainly would be more focused on South Carolina. I'd make a couple appearances in New Hampshire, see if you can get some of the conservative vote. But, you know, Governor Perry is a full-throated conservative, both fiscal and social, and that generally would play better, I think, in South Carolina than maybe what he would see in New Hampshire.
Very good. Governor Sam Brownback from Kansas, a good friend, someone that, boy, I've worked with for years, and I actually can say decades. Governor, it's great to have you. Good luck out there, and keep up the great work for the people of Kansas.
I appreciate it, Jay. All the best. God bless you guys.
You too. Happy New Year. All right, very good. Thank you very much. That's Governor Sam Brownback from Kansas. As I said, we're friends with Jordan. We're friends with a lot of these guys. We're neighbors in Washington with Governor Brownback. Of course, we've known Governor Romney for a long time as well. We've known Rick Santorum. Michelle Bachmann, not only do we know, we've represented a number of cases at the Supreme Court. So we're giving people the issues and where it goes. Do you think that, Jordan, do you think that the reason the no New Hampshire move by people like Michelle Bachmann and Governor Perry is likely because of Romney's strength in New Hampshire?
Listen, I think when you watch what's happening right now, Dad, you see candidates, you heard it from Governor Brownback, already looking past New Hampshire, those candidates being primarily Rick Perry and also, of course, Michelle Bachmann. And I would suspect someone like Rick Santorum would also benefit from that strategy, not falling into what David Brody said was probably one of the downfalls of Mike Huckabee's campaign, which was instead of going straight out of his win in Iowa, maybe, you know, make a couple appearances in New Hampshire. There's two debates there, so you have to go there already. But you know this is a much more moderate electorate. It's a lot of independence voting, so it's much tougher for a very conservative candidate. So spend a couple days there for the debates and then hit South Carolina. Use your momentum. Use the money you've got left to go after voters there. And, of course, I think what they're all going to run into is that the Nikki Haley machine, Governor Haley's machine, is behind Mitt Romney. And that is something that was a shocking endorsement. And I think now if you look at how the polls have shifted even since that endorsement with Chris Christie being out there for Governor Romney and Nikki Haley, when you have such different kind of states governors represented, both New Jersey and South Carolina, people like Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann need to get to South Carolina immediately following Iowa.
All right, folks, we're going to be taking your calls, and we got a lot of them when we come back. But again, if you want our Foundations of Freedom, it's our gift to you to start the new year. That's the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Check out the website. Again, thank you to the members and friends of the ACLJ. We met our matching challenge goal, exceeded it, couldn't have done it without you. Again, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you in just a moment with your calls and questions.
Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Seculo provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Seculo Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Seculo tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org.
The U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Gettysburg Address, vital documents, all part of the foundations of freedom in America. Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
If you have not yet ordered a copy of our great booklet we've put together called Foundations of Freedom, I want to encourage you to do so. We're going to use that as almost like a textbook on this broadcast. These are the kind of the foundational documents for American law, and it's something that everybody really needs to have, and it's our gift to you. It's absolutely free. I want to encourage you to call our toll-free number to get your copy of Foundations of Freedom.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we want you to have a free copy of the Foundations of Freedom. Call right now. toll-free at 1-877-989-2255. Get your free copy, The Foundations of Freedom. Call toll-free 877-989-2255.
Foundations of Freedom. It's absolutely free. You need to call and get your copy today.
Well, they've all taken their best shots, and some of those shots have landed evidently not on Rick Santorum because those shots didn't really come in, and he's kind of surging right now. Jordan, do you have any could that be a shocker tonight, a Rick Santorum finish?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's different than, you know, people are comparing him to Mike Huckabee. And I don't think that's fair because Mike Huckabee, at this point, and as the newest Rasmussen report on the polling indicated and reminded people, was winning 7 out of the 10 major polls going into the caucus. Rick Santorum is not in the lead in any of the polls, though, from every report. I've got David Brody coming up on my show, Dad, who's on the ground, and, of course, from CBN News, their chief political analyst, and he's on the ground in Iowa and has been so. And he said, you know, the momentum is there. It's whether or not the organization, how many people show up. You know, it can be – the Iowa caucus can be 60% evangelical voters. It can be 40% evangelical voters. Just depends on who's motivated to go. And, Dad, as you know, because you've been out there like I have, this is not walking in for five minutes and casting a vote. You've got to commit 2 hours at least of your evening to go listen to candidate representatives. It could be a 20-year-old intern. It could be a surrogate. It could be the candidate themselves. Speak from each campaign that sends someone. Then you cast your vote. Then they tally the ballots. Some events are very small, you know, 100 people, 75 people. Others in some of the bigger counties have a few hundred people at them. Right. But it's all about who you can get out. I mean, whoever can get the most people out wins, and it's very different than just a regular vote because it's not an easy commitment for people to make. So if Rick Santorum wins that, it's a huge, huge victory for him because he has not been leading the polls like Mike Huckabee was.
If Governor Romney wins, and it looks like looking at the Real Clear Politics average in New Hampshire, he is way ahead in New Hampshire, 41%, closest competitors, Paul, way dead, down at 18, Gingrich at 12, Perry at 2.5. I mean, the other's way, way, way behind. Huntsman at 10.8. If Romney were to win tonight, how significant do you think that is?
I think if Romney finishes in the top two, and if the top three are all within one percentage point, it's a wash. It's good for Rick Santorum. It's okay for Ron Paul, though I think he's got the most support there of any other state probably that he can campaign in. But he'll keep going, and he always keeps going. And then it's a win for Mitt Romney because no one came out ahead. There wasn't a clear, you know, more conservative front runner. If so, he goes into New Hampshire without taking any kind of beating at all in Iowa. And I think carries a day there easily, goes into South Carolina. It's a battle that he can win because of the endorsement from Nikki Haley. Now, if he actually wins tonight in Iowa, then wins big in New Hampshire, and I think if he wins tonight in Iowa, he'll win even bigger in New Hampshire. He then probably likely wins South Carolina, and it's over. Even though the system has changed to proportional rather than winner take all, I think Mitt Romney can you know win this in the first three primaries.
But anything can happen tonight and tomorrow. You just don't know. And all attention tomorrow will be New Hampshire. Let's get some phone calls, Jordan. Who do we have first?
Yeah, let's go to Marianne calling from Maryland on line 6. Marianne, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Marianne.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that as voters, we feel that this election isn't just about the economy, however important that is, that it's also about marriage, parental rights, and the sanctity of human life, and the family, the foundation of society, and of course being pro-Israel. And we feel that Rick Santorum is talking about these things. So that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. I think that, and you heard what Governor Brownback said, it's not just the economy. I mean, obviously the economy is a huge issue, and for the American people that aren't working, it is a gigantic issue. And for those that are underemployed, it's huge. But yes, I think that's a fair statement. The social issues will play. It doesn't play so significantly in the primaries because most of the candidates line up pretty close to each other. There's some differences, but they line up pretty close. But I think those issues will definitely play. That's how the base will get motivated. But Rick Santorum, look, he's surging right now, and he's talking about more than just social issues. He's talking about the economy. In fact, in the debates, I thought he's done a very good job on the foreign policy issues. Excellent on the foreign policy issues, frankly.
Yeah, let's take another phone call. We want to get as many as we can. Let's go to Pearl calling from Arizona on line 1. Pearl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Pearl.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm as you know, the question that I was going to ask is about a biblical perspective on the way we treat a certain group of people in this country. And I want to say to you and to the audience, the reason I ask is because good foreign policy begins with and proceeds from good domestic policy. And in your book, Foundations, which I haven't had a chance to look at yet, Jay, I hope that you would address the state's relationship to the individual as one of the foundational points, and then you will understand why I'm saying good foreign policy begins and proceeds from those foundational philosophy.
By the way, Foundations of Freedom is not a book I've written. I do not take credit for writing the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. But if you read the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights, absolutely, domestic policy impacts foreign policy. That's what the Constitution, that's the structure it sets up. So we appreciate your call and appreciate your comment. Who's next, Jordan?
Let's get right back to the phones, because I think this is another question we could answer very easily. Harry from Montana on line four. Harry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Harry.
Good morning. Jay, Jordan, Logan, staff, and family, I want to wish you a happy new year from us over here in Montana.
Well, happy new year to you all.
For whatever reason. I wanted to say, I kind of really swaying towards Michelle Bachmann, and one of those standout reasons, not only for the stance she takes on most of the major issues, gun rights is something that I haven't heard very much talked about, and could you shed some light on the other four or five candidates' stance on that, if you guys know?
Yeah, I mean, I can, Harry, I think, pretty sum it up pretty quick. I don't think there's a lot of difference between them. I think this is another issue, like my dad was just talking about, on some of the other social issues where you may get into some very small differences and details. Though I think on the Second Amendment, what you've got is very clearly a whole group of candidates who are very pro-Second Amendment, and especially building on what happened with Fast and Furious and the fact that the federal government was trying to use their own sale of automatic weapons to push restrictions on the sales of weapons. I mean, that's why they were part of the reason they were trying to benefit from Fast and Furious, even though it was killing U.S. citizens and, of course, citizens of Mexico and drug cartels. Now you got a drug cartel today, Dad, asserting in federal court that they were granted immunity, promised immunity by the federal government, a major cartel for turning in other cartels. So I think, Harry, what you're going to see very easily across the board, you can be confident in any one of these candidates when it comes to defending your Second Amendment rights.
I don't think there's any question. Let's try to grab at least one more question if we can.
Yeah, Elizabeth calling from New Hampshire on line three, which will be another important primary state next week, January 10th. Elizabeth, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jay. We really appreciate all your hard work.
Thanks.
You know, Santorum is the only hope for America. I really hope and pray, and I hope that every evangelical will pray for Santorum to win. I even hope that the other ones who are Christians would band together with their campaigning and drop out and push him to.
Well, there was that attempt to have some of the pastors and friends of ours actually in Iowa were trying to get some of the others to drop out. But that's not the way it works. I mean, the way it works is you see how you do in the election, Jordan, which brings up one thing as we close here. What do you think is going to happen here as far as think we'll see people dropping out?
Well, I don't know if we'll see people drop out immediately tonight. I mean, I wish we had more time to talk to Elizabeth since she's in New Hampshire, but I encourage those New Hampshire voters to start calling in tomorrow, because your state is next on the front burner, and I want to hear some on-the-ground reports since so much of the political reporting has been coming out of Iowa. I think, Dad, you got to look at Rick Perry seriously, as Governor Brownback said. If he doesn't do well, does he continue this, or does he just say, you know what, I'm going to save face here and do the right thing? Michelle Bachmann, does she really head to South Carolina if she doesn't finish in the top four here tonight? And then Mitt Romney, of course. So I don't know if we'll see dropouts immediately, but listen, campaigns start running out of money if you don't do well in Iowa and you put your money there.
All right, again, a thank you to our ACLJ members and donors that helped us meet that challenge. If you want Foundations of Freedom, we'll send it to you free. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Sekulow Show. Jordan Sekulow provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordansekulow.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Sekulow Show via email, info@sekulow.com.